Thank you very much. Okay, so I'm going to report on the Loop4Ein activities, which basically means European activities, but of course I cannot really separate it from the other communities, so I just put in a not only here, which means that there is much intersection and connection between the different continents in view of loop calculations. The talk is separated into the following parts. Of course, of the short introduction, I move on to loop calculations and start with multi-loop calculations, which basically means two-loop. And then I move on to radiative corrections to processes with more than two particles in the final state. So the number of loops basically reduces to one here. And if there is time, I will also report on some other theoretical developments. I think each of us really knows where we are. We have pretty results from the lab running SLC and Tevatron, which confirmed the standard model as a quantum field theory, which means that quantum corrections are really significant and needed in order to describe the experiments properly, both in QCD and in the electroweak theory. And one of the milestones in this area was really that the indirectly constrained value of the top quark mass that was reached via quantum corrections is really in good agreement with the direct measurements made at Tevatron. And we hope for the same effect and the same logic. Thank you. In the case of the Higgs boson, where we also can indirectly constrain the Higgs boson mass by quantum corrections, and this of course has a great impact on the Higgs boson searches. So one can really say that precision physics has reached already great success, but an even greater potential can be reached with a future A plus and minus collider. Just to make a few examples, if a future A plus and minus linear collider goes back to the C boson resonance or to the W pair threshold, then the precision increases roughly by a factor of 10, let's say one order of magnitude, with respect to previous measurements made at LEP and SLC. For example, the effective weak mixing angle will then be known to an accuracy to 10 to the minus 5, or the W boson mass can be obtained from a threshold scan of the W boson pairs to an accuracy of, let's say, 7 MeV, which is good progress with respect to the present status. For theory, this means that we have to go from, let's say, a few hundreds of diagrams to a few thousand, maybe 10,000 more complicated diagrams, which is really really a big challenge here. And in addition to these low energy measurements, in some sense, for a linear collider, there are of course also planned high energy runs at the top pair threshold and with increasing energy, where various cross sections can be analyzed at the percent level, and maybe new particle production opens, like in the SUSY sector or whatsoever. We simply don't know, but we know that we have really to make predictions at the percent level or as precise as possible. So it is clear linear collider physics demands precision calculations, and to be a little bit more precise, progress on higher order corrections is really needed. For example, for typical scattering reactions for two to two particles or other reactions with four particles, for example, a 1-3 decay, we need basically for the most important representative two-loop accuracy, and for particle production with more than two, that means three, four, and so on, particles in the final state, we need definitely full one-loop calculations. And not only in the sector of calculation of corrections, but also concerning simulation tools, a lot of progress is really needed. We definitely need Monte Carlo generators for multi-particle final states, which also include corrections. So the issue of this talk is to briefly summarize the developments in the Loop4Ein that have been achieved after the Tesla TDR, that means basically 3 years ago. I will, of course, concentrate only on A plus and minus colliders, and the emphasis is also, of course, based on the progress triggered in the last year. So where are we technically? I tried to visualize this in a simple graphics, where you see on the horizontal axis a number of legs, which means, for example, two particles come in and four come out, so you have a number of legs 6 here, and the way up shows you the number of loops that can be calculated. Right. So it is clear for static quantities or self-energies or two-to-two scattering processes, a lot of loop machinery is really known, and if you increase the number of legs in your reaction, then of course at some point no loop corrections exist up to now. This is more or less the technique that is very well established for quite some time. The present activity at the loop frontier and, let's say, leg frontier is located here in the blue areas. Here generators exist for multiparticle final states. For 2-to-3 corrections, loop corrections are being done, and also for 2-to-2 scattering, 2 loop corrections become available, and for the static quantities, or let's say self-energies, one can even go beyond 2 loop, in some cases at least. And we will see what sort of progress this really meant here in practice. So let me start with the multi-loop calculations, and one of the major achievements in recent years was the completion of the calculation of muon decay to 2 loops, which was reached in 3 steps with a 2 loop contribution with closed Fermion loops, then with the Higgs mass dependence of other loop diagrams without closed Fermion loops, and finally with a complete 2 loop calculation with all the boson loops. I have just indicated 2 representatives here. And as you can also see here, automation plays a big role. It started here with the application of these packages, FineArts and 2Calc, and they were supplemented by a semi-analytical method for the evaluation of master integrals. And this was more or less the beginning of this calculation. The same technique was used in this part here, and finally, 2 other groups did the whole job with the purely bosonic corrections with other means, which were basically form programs, starting with diagram generation by these 2 programs here, and finally completing the calculation also with semi-analytical methods and alternatively with asymptotic expansions. And they nicely agree, and they could also recalculate the first step of the calculation here. So things are really under control, and you see a large variety of techniques comes in. The 2 loop calculation for the whole electric correction was complemented recently by a 3 loop part to the rho parameter by Queen's group here, and this means that the enhanced corrections of this orders here, so a mixed QCD electric correction and a pure electric correction with a top mass enhancement, were calculated, and they modify the W mass prediction that comes out of muon decay at the level of, well, here a few MeV and here fractions of MeV. So things become really very, very stable if you translate it into predictions of the W boson mass. Here also the automation was done within form. QGraph was a diagram generator, and MATAT is a program that calculates tadpole diagrams at the multi-loop level. I'm not sure to which level, but at least it works to 3 loop. Okay, you see the final prediction for the W boson mass as a function of the Higgs boson mass here. This band here quantifies the standard model prediction in comparison to the experimental measurement. And you see it favors small Higgs boson masses, as you may know. And just to summarize, roughly 3 to 4 years ago, the theoretical uncertainty that was attributed to the prediction of the W boson mass was about 6 MeV, and nowadays it was pressed down by this reported progress to 2 MeV. So this is really a major achievement, and one can say the W boson mass prediction is really in good shape. This one here? Well, that's true.
Yeah,
I think so. That's a parametric uncertainty. Okay, another very important quantity in precision physics is the effective heat mixing angle that comes out of asymmetry measurements at the Z-pole. And of course, this quantity makes a very important contribution to high precision physics, also at GigaZ. In particular there. So in order to reach really a knowledge of this quantity to a level of, let's say, 10^-5 or so, one definitely also needs a complete 2 loop prediction at the theoretical side. And the first step to do this is again to concentrate on the well-defined subclass, for example, the diagrams with closed Fermion loops, as you can see here. I borrowed these diagrams from Avramik and Chakung, who made, I think, this calculation already complete. Chacon reported on that in the last Linea Collada workshop in November. And here you can also find some features of these diagrams. For example, they are, of course, a gauge and a subset. The main complication are really the shown diagrams with the Chinwin two-loop insertions inside the vertex. And just the funny thing is that the sum of all those graphs for the Higgs boson switching into a photon or set vanished by CP symmetry. But nevertheless, it's really a big deal to calculate all these diagrams. And as I've said already, that calculation is already complete. And I'm pretty sure that we will hear about that calculation and the results in the talk of Michael Sata Avamik. So I can't really skip all the details that are already known to others. And I should also announce that an independent calculation is done by Freitas and Weichlein. The calculation is in progress. They just also take here the fine arts two calc package and the semi-analytical integration method for the two-loop integrals. And I think in a few weeks, Freitas will report on their status at the next Linea Collada workshop. So I expect also much progress here. I can skip all the details of the calculation. I think Malka Sata will definitely tell us everything about that. So let me move on and briefly touch the issue of two-loop corrections to 2-to-2 scattering processes or 1-to-3 decays. There is a whole industry of people working in this field because it's very, very important. And different approaches are followed. For example, one approach is an algebraic reduction to master integrals. In order to reach this, a lot of tricks have been invented, for example, integration by parts techniques, Lorentz invariance identities, and so on, are used to reduce a Feynman diagram to a standard set of so-called master integrals. And these master integrals are subsequently calculated by various techniques, for example, Mellin-Pons technique, differential equations, or other numerical techniques. And of course, it's really nice and safe to see how these techniques work in a very different way, but nevertheless yield the same result. Okay, very differently from the use of master integrals is the direct reduction of full two-loop amplitudes followed by this company. They directly translate amplitudes in terms of higher transcendental functions, and finally they find expressions which are nested harmonic sums. And also, I think in all cases, they compared the results and they found complete agreement with the other methods. So things are really developing in a very good way. Explicit algebraic results already exist for maskless 2-to-2 processes, for example, Barber scattering or any QCD pardon scattering worked out by these people here. And a little bit more complicated is the calculation of, for example, a plus or minus to 3 jets in QCD, because here one leg of the loop part is off-shell. So this is more general than pure master scattering. Well, this loop progress at the two-loop frontier was supplemented by other projects that I have briefly collected here. And I just want to draw the attention to the last point here, because if you want to have a two-loop prediction, it's not only a loop calculation that you have to do, but also to worry about Bremsstrahlung. For example, the most complicated part is the two-parton Bremsstrahlung, for example, two gluon emission in addition to some quarks. And here it is very complicated to figure out the singularity structure in order to cancel it against the singularities of the virtual corrections. And to this end, these people in particular worked on two-parton Bremsstrahlung. For example, Weinzel worked out the leading color terms for the so-called dipole subtraction approach, which is a rearrangement of the singularities between real and virtual corrections. And for the concrete example of plus and minus to 2 jets, well, plus maybe 2 other partons that cause the Bremsstrahlung here, was worked out by 3 groups up to now. And so we are really getting closer of having full two-loop calculations, for example, to this process here. But this was basically all for the standard model. There's also two-loop progress in multi-loop calculations in the MSSM. I think I can somehow shortcut the whole stuff, because Sven Heinemeier will talk about this topic at length, in, I think, also today, but only in a few words. Of course, the one-loop predictions to precision observables, which means, for example, W boson mass from muon decay or weak mixing angle and so on, all the typical pseudo-observables for lab 1, they have been known at one loop quite for some time and are now supplemented with leading two-loop corrections, for example, mixed electroweak and QCD corrections to the rho parameter, and more recently also UCABA coupling enhanced corrections to the rho parameter have been calculated. This means these are two-loop corrections that have two UCABA couplings from the top quark, or top quark and big quark UCABA coupling and so on, or big quark UCABA coupling squared. This is enhanced for large tangent beta in the MSSM, and so somehow the two-loop calculations grow and grow, because all types of leading corrections are now successively calculated. In the MSSM, the Higgs mass, the Higgs masses are not all free parameters. There is some interconnection between them, and well, fixing one and tangent beta and the other SUSY parameters, one can predict the others. And of course, it's also very important to make precision predictions for Higgs masses. And here also, for example, in this fine Higgs program, leading two-loop corrections are implemented successively. You see here the progress reached in recent years, and also other people coming to the game here. And well, people are really doing precision calculations also in this sector. And well, I just refer to the talk of Sven Heinemeier to tell us everything about progress in, on this side. Instead, I switch to the next subject, where the number of external particles increases. For example, a very important class of reactions is for fermion production, in the plus and minus annihilation. Actually, in the last year, not very much happened in this field. And this means that, for example, for this most important for fermion production process, which proceeds via W pair production, the state of the art is still achieved by these two Monte Carlos, which include electroweak radiative corrections. It's the Raccoon WW and the, basically the Vive SWW program from these German and Polish groups. This means that the so-called non-universal electroweak corrections, which are not connected to initial state radiations or running coupling or so, they are included in this so-called double pole approximations, which means that the residue of this double pole of the two W resonances is corrected for. And of course, there are further improvements by leading order corrections, and for the leading order processes, the full matrix elements for the whole four fermion process is taken into account. If you look carefully into the results they produce here, you find the following for the error estimates or for the theoretical uncertainties involved in this type of calculations. And the good thing is really that in the lab 2 range up to the future range of 500 GV, you can say there is a prediction for the cross section at the level of, let's say, 0.5%. But if you now go down to the threshold for the W boson pair production, then the uncertainty increases. And this has the reason because this double pole approximation somehow runs out of control there, because the whole cross section is not dominated by the W boson resonance there again, because it's really going down and touching the non-resonant part. So the concept here runs out of control. This means that if you really go to threshold, you have to rely on some sort of improved bond approximations where you just rest the tree-level predictions with the initial state radiation and other universal effects. And this means that you are down to a precision of, let's say, 2%. Before showing you some graphics of this kind, I would like to draw your attention to single W production, which is basically mediated by this diagram here, where you have a forward scattered electron and a photon exchange here in the T-channel with very low momentum, and you can produce one resonant W boson. Well, here there are several generators which are really state of the art, and the salient features of this type of W production is that the lowest order matrix element are really needed with a finite electron mass, because otherwise you cannot really describe the forward scattered electron here. also initial state radiation and final state radiation are connected in a more complicated way because of the forward scattered electron also here. And what is also important is that the running of alpha, which comes basically also here from this photon propagator, becomes non-trivial because you have a very low momentum transfer and actually you come to a non-perturbative regime here. So it's not so easy to describe it here. And finally, no non-universal electrical corrections are included, and taking all together you find that the precision is only precise within, let's say, 5%. So here also much work is needed for a future collider. Okay, in view of some pictures, you can see here the lab 2 measurement of the W pair production cross section, and as I've said here, at threshold, for example Tesla or the so-called mega W option of any future linear collider, would be very helpful to scan the threshold region here in order to pin down the error on the W boson mass down to, let's say, 7 MeV or so. But looking into this graphics here, which is borrowed from the Tesla TDR, where you see assumed data points, and then you can fit the W boson mass to that data points, and then you get really this error estimate for the reconstructed W boson mass. The point is really that the 2% uncertainty in the cross section is about the size of the band from here to there. So this is much, much larger than the accuracy you really need in order to account for this assumed data points. And this really tells you that you need the full 4-fermion cross section at the one loop level. And just to complete the argument, for single W production, you see the cross section, which is given in red here, rises logarithmically with the energy, and well, lab 2 was located somewhere here, and 5% accuracy was really good in order to describe data, but if you go there, you get a tremendously large cross section, larger than for W boson pairs, at an energy of about 500 GeV, and so you also need a precision calculation here at the full one loop level. So what is the state of the art concerning loop calculations to many particle processes? There was good progress for 2-3 processes in recent years. So complete order alpha calculations have been made to Higgs production processes, and basically there were three competing groups for the E plus and minus collider, I should say. There was the Grace group, accommodated by Belanger and Buchema, so basically a Japanese-French collaboration, a German group, and a Chinese group. They presented full-order alpha calculations to these type of processes. That means the W boson fusion cross-section going to Higgs boson, the TT by Higgs production, Z-Higgs-Higgs production, which is important for the Higgs self-coupling, and photon-photon goes to TT by Higgs. Okay, total cross-sections and distributions have been investigated. Just to point out some features of the corrections, they are typically 10%, and simple approximations will not do the job in order to make predictions at the percent level, because the corrections turn out to be very complicated. There are several effects that combine really to the 10%, and this don't simply add up. It's quite complicated. So you really need the full calculations for linear collider physics. I just want to give you a flavor about the results. First, some features of the calculations. You see here the increasing number of diagrams when going from one to the other final states here. In order to do the full calculation, you have to check everything as good as you can. For example, you have to perform gauge invariance checks or combine virtual and real corrections very carefully, maybe at best in different ways. This was all done by the various groups. And the main complication, of course, is the evaluation of so-called pentagon diagrams, where you can find some representatives here. But in all these points, really, technical progress was reached, and so the calculations were possible. Okay, one example. This is Nunes by Higgs production. As I've said, there are two diagrams contributing to this final state. For electron neutrinos, there's basically, for high energies, the W boson fusion, but there's also that Higgs production involved. You see here the cross-section is rising logarithmically, well, which is caused by the W fusion, as you see here, WW fusion. And the corrections, just to give you the order of magnitude, are typically really, as I've said, at the order of 10%. You can further decompose these corrections into several parts, and you find also for all parts like closed fermion loops, corrections of, well, this level here. If you compare results between the well, let's say Gray's group and the German group, then they agree within 0.2%, which is basically the integration error of the Gray's group. So there's practically perfect agreement, and things are really understood. For T by Higgs reduction, results are similar. Here again is the comparison of these two groups. Here they agree even within 0.1%, which is perfect, you can say, because it's a statistical error of the Gray's group. One should, however, also point out that the Chinese group more or less also have the same corrections, but at low and high energies, they have it seems that they have some difficulties because they deviate at the percent level from the others. But nevertheless, one can conclude that the order alpha corrections are under control. Final example, Z-Higgs productions where the Chinese and the Japanese group made predictions. Here you can see that the cross-sections are really very tiny. Nevertheless, people claim that one can really measure the cross-section at a high luminosity run and get some information on the Higgs self-coupling. Here's the comparison between the two groups. And, well, as I say, in the intermediate range, there's good agreement. But again, for high energies, it seems, well, at least I would bet on that, that the Chinese group has numerical problems there. But nevertheless, these are really nice results. OK. Other theoretical developments in recent years, there was continuous ongoing progress in electric radiative corrections at high energies. The so-called Sudakov logarithms has been worked out at the 1 and the 2 loop level. Just to give you an idea what the subject is about, if you go to high energies, for example in the TV range, then soft gauge boson exchange here leads you to a so-called mass singularity in field theory, or as you can see here, these are log squares, coupling time times log squared at the one loop level, which are the order of 10% or so. And these are called Sudakov logarithms. Going to the two loop level, you see it's basically the square of that, and you are still in the percent range. There are also subleading logarithms, also of the same size. So it's very important to control all these corrections. And the whole business of singling out the logs is, of course, to get information on the higher loop level. That means two loop and beyond, maybe resummed. Because for the one loop level, you can do the full calculation. Just an explanation. What is the difference between, let's say, QED and QCD, or electric theory and QCD, actually, one should say? Because it is known in QCD that all these log squared cancel out. So why don't they cancel out in electric theory? There are basically two reasons. The gauge bosons are massive. That means one can really separate additional W and C boson Bremsstrahlung from a hard process. One can really reconstruct the W's and the C's, even if they are sort of soft and radiated off. For a gluon, you cannot do that, and for the photon. And secondly, the non-abelian charges, that means the weak isospin of the W and the Z, they are really open. You need not sum in the final state over W's and C bosons. So there is no sort of Bloch-Nozick calculation. There is no Bloch-Nozick theorem involved in this SHU group. And so the final aim would really be to have a universal prescription for improving, for example, all the one-loop calculations by these higher order effects, starting at the two-loop level, maybe resum to all orders. OK, the details of the progress here I have to skip for time reasons. Let me just point out that there is also ongoing process in precision calculations in SUSY particle production. For example, complete order alpha corrections have been made for all pair production cross-sections. For these SUSY particles, the mass spectra in the Charchino, Neutralino, and Fermion sector have been worked out, including the properly defined renormalization prescriptions, and also in the comparison of QCD and SUSY QCD, well, loop calculations are made, for example, in order to test the identity of the gauge and Yukawa couplings in this quark-squark and Gluino sector. So let me come to the end. Linear collider precision physics is definitely a great challenge. I think we all know that. And there has been good progress since the Tesla DDR, as I tried to explain you. the highlights, I think, is really two-loop techniques are developing for real scattering reactions. Muon decay is known to full two-loop accuracy. Sine squared theta is in progress at this accuracy. One-loop calculations become available for 2 to 3 processes, maybe even more in the future. And also leading electric two-loop corrections at high energies are known now more or less completely at the Sudakov leading log level and partially at the next leading log level. Precision calculations in the MSSM also become more and more popular, so there's really much going on. This was a graphic I showed you in my introduction, but of course this should not be the end that is sufficient in order to describe linear collider physics. The areas here shown in red are definitely areas that should be filled also in green in order to account for linear collider physics. And this red boundary shows you a range that should also be covered by, let's say, leading effects. So there's really a lot of work in front of us. So there are many issues for the future. Just to make a few examples, we need really complete two-loop calculations of these scattering reactions, for example, for the Z-line shape, for the pseudo-observables. In particular, Barber scattering is important for luminosity measurements, three-shed production, and so on. We also need complete one-loop calculations for 4 and maybe for some more particle production processes. And what's also very important for experimentalists, we need proper implementations of the corrections into Monte Carlo generators. That is not straightforward. And of course, in order to fulfill all these requirements and do the whole job here, one touches many general issues like resummation, treatment of unstable particles, parallelization, automatization, standardization, whatsoever. These are all very long-term projects, but as I hopefully could convince you that in particular young people are really going to do the job and willing to do the work, so I can only ask the people who are in charge of that to give them the continuous support that they need. Thank you.
Questions for Stefan?
In your discussion of the theoretical error of the W mass, I think you cited an error of 2 MeV. Is that so? Now, there is a recent paper by Abramik, Zeikon, Freitas, and Weiglein. Well, they do this analysis, but they cite 4 MeV. Maybe this is later. The error on the site is 4 MeV, and moreover, they get that error by combining several errors in quadrature, which, in my opinion, is not.
Continuous discussions of this subject, of course, with people like Georg Weiglein and Hollig and all that. And
but what they cite is 4 MeV.
Yeah, they told me 2 MeV. Maybe they somehow weakened
the,
now the statement.
In the paper which I have
maybe,
here,
maybe Michael Sutter can tell us something.
The paper which I have here says 4 MeV.
I picked up an old number for the precision in the W boson mass. Is it 2 or 4 MeV that you quote for the theoretical uncertainty at present? Is it 4 MeV? Okay, what was the reason for that somehow weakened precision? Because I remember last year I was always told it is about 2 or let's say 3 MeV. Excuse me? Yeah. Yes.
However, when we considered all the items, it appeared that probably 4 MeV is a proper number.
Okay, at least it's more conservative, so. Well, the point is really one should all the error estimates take with a grain of salt because it's only a guesstimate. So a factor of 2 is always something you can negotiate about.
Sven.
One remark and one question. I think the reason, if I remember correctly, for going from 2 to 4 was that there was some three-loop piece that people did not look at before, and then some people looked and said, this could be large, and they included it. So I think this is the reason to go to the higher number. But for the W mass measurement, at the threshold, of course, you need this full 2 to 4 calculation, as you said. Wouldn't it maybe easier to try to do in the continuum later, I mean at higher energies, that you don't do a threshold scan, and I think you can reach at least 10 MeV there.
Well, this was also analyzed, of course, and what I remember is that people talk about a precision of, let's say, 15 MeV or so, that you can reach in the reconstruction.
I think it was 10.
Well, 10, 15, well, let's say 10 to 15. But the point is really that the prediction at the moment has an error that is estimated of, let's say, 5 MeV. There, well, what we found out recently with in collaboration with experimental colleagues, so I actually say it was basically the experimental colleague who did the job, it was Fabio Cosutti, and he really found also that the systematic uncertainties that come into the play in reconstructing the W boson maybe is a bit larger than 5 MeV. So also progress is needed there, this is definitely clear, but it's not so urgent, of course, as in the case of the threshold scan, because maybe you saw the big band. I would never trust any scan at the moment with the present predictions, because you have no idea what the real precision really is near threshold.
More questions? Comments? Complaints? If not, then let's thank the speaker again.